The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
That's right, Drew Brees is back. We'll have all the latest on the news all over our show today here on NFL Live alongside Mina Kimes, Marcus Spears, and Ryan Clark. I am Field Yates. Perhaps improbably, the veteran quarterback Drew Brees is back after missing just four games following 11 broken ribs. And the timing couldn't be any better with a Sunday matchup on tap against the Chiefs. Here's his head coach Sean Payton on Brees' return.
He's looked good. He feels good. And we were encouraged at the start of the week. You know, we wanted to see how it felt, you know, as he went through a full practice week, and he's done a good job. We wouldn't be playing him if he wasn't healthy and able to function and feeling good and recovered. So our plan is to play him. Our plan is to start him. And we have a number of personnel groupings to give us some flexibility, and we'll go from there.
The return of Brees should provide a significant boost for New Orleans' offense. The Saints have averaged 6 more points per game and over 60 more passing yards per game and have a much better offensive efficiency when playing with Drew Brees as compared to starting Taysom Hill. And New Orleans will likely need their offense to be clicking if they hope to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' high-powered offense on Sunday. Let's get it going to our panelists. And Marcus, are you concerned at all about Drew Brees starting this huge potential Super Bowl preview matchup?
Phil, you know, sometimes people start off a phrase with, you want the good news or the bad news, okay? And I'm going to use both scenarios, all right? I'm happy that Drew Brees is back. He obviously gives the New Orleans Saints the best chance to win this football game and operate offensively the way that they want to. But I'm also scared as hell. I'm nervous for Drew. And one of the main reasons is because Chris Jones is in the middle of this defensive line, y'all. We saw the hit that transpired to put Drew in the situation that he was in. And now we're talking about putting him up against one of the most dominant interior defensive linemen, pass rushers in the NFL. Look, Drew has always navigated the pocket really well. Defensive ends have never really got great shots on him throughout his career. But it's that interior pressure, and I'm nervous about it. And then you think about this. What are you leveraging, right? I took some money classes when I was growing up. I got a little money in the NFL. They say, what are you leveraging, right? What are you spending? What are you leveraging when you make this investment? This is an investment to not only get a shot at Drew Brees playing against the Kansas City Chiefs and seeing what they may do. So maybe down the road, if we see this matchup again, you'll have an idea. But it is also saying to his team, to Sean Payton is saying to his team, I'm going to do everything for us to win every single game we play in, and I have to respect it. So I'm happy. I'm excited. Football fans should be excited and ecstatic, but I'm scared and I'm nervous. All right? That's it.
All of the emotions, all of them. I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm nervous, Marcus, too. I think a lot of us didn't know how many ribs were in the human body until that Drew Brees injury, right? Like, anyone
still.
Who said they knew it was 24 was lying. 11 on one side. But two things calm my nerves. One, yes, Chris Jones is terrifying, but the Saints' offensive line is very good, and they are better than we saw last week. Frankly, Taysom Hill made them look worse than they are by holding on to the ball as long as he does. Drew Brees is that offensive line's best friend. You know who else is his best friend? Alvin Kamara, and I'll tell you, he is glad Drew Brees is back because in his absence, he was averaging under 13 receiving yards per game.
Yeah.
Now, fans at home, when they watch this Saints offense, they think, oh, it's so easy to stop. Drew Brees can't throw deep. All you got to do is stop Alvin Kamara. But what they don't appreciate is how well Drew Brees throws those little short passes and screens and slants, how he leads Alvin Kamara into getting yards after the catch. You're going to see a lot of that to alleviate some of that Kansas City pressure on Sunday.
Man, listen, y'all know how Drew Brees is hopping out of the trunk,
for the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what he's saying. He walking in there talking about where the money reside, where the money reside, where the money reside, where the money reside. Because Drew Brees is the money guy for the Saints. There's no decision to be made. If he's ready to play, Drew Brees plays. If he's healthy, Drew Brees goes out there and gives this team the best chance to win. On the other side of the field is Patrick Mahomes, one of the best to ever do it. And so if Drew Brees is saying he's ready, if Drew Brees could feel protected, you put him out there. Because the one thing I know about Drew, if you've ever watched the stripe of his helmet when he's going through his progression, that junk happens like that. It's here, it's here, it's here. He gets the football out of his hands. He's going to get pressure up front. We saw the Kansas City Chiefs working a lot of tackle in stunts against the Miami Dolphins to get into Tua Tagovailoa's face. That's what we'll see this week. Drew Brees has to understand. Go through your reads. Get the football out of your hands. Let your playmakers make the plays. And then in the end, when you need to make a play, because the Kansas City Chiefs certainly will on offense, that's why you're out here. They know they can't do it with Taysom Hill, and they also know they don't want to send themselves to Lambeau Field to try to win the playoff game. This game is important. Drew understands that, and he's ready to go. You have to coach the game and call the game accordingly.
Well, Marcus, you began your answer with some good news, bad news. The good news is that Drew Brees is playing. The bad news, and I'm about to put a surprise on each one of you, Michael Thomas is out. He has been ruled out of this game due to an ankle injury.
No.
Breaking news into NFL Live right now. And we know he's been managing an ankle injury and a hamstring injury throughout the year. Of course, missed the game early in the season due to team suspension. So, Swagoo, it was going to be a difficult challenge to beat the Chiefs, even with Drew Brees back under center. You multiply the Chiefs as a team with no Michael Thomas, and each of your faces sort of said all right now. How much, and sort of a dumb question, but important one, how much does this impact the Saints on Sunday?
Phil, this right here. Dang it, man. What are we doing? I legit had in my notes, him and Michael Thomas are going to be able to work on their rapport together. They have not played together for the majority of the season. And now you break this damn news while we on the show. Man, this is horrible. Listen, this is one of the best receivers in the game. And I know a lot of people forget because dealt with these injuries. He was Taysom's number one target. He's the only reason Taysom Hill outside of Emmanuel Sanders throws down the field. But, man, this is devastating, especially playing against the weapons that he's going to be facing on the other side. Dang
yeah,
it,
it's bad, but it's not devastating because we saw this offense without Michael Thomas with Drew Brees. Now, let me say this. If it was Taysom Hill in there, I might not even watch the game, to be honest, because it would be over. But Drew Brees was able I obviously would still watch the game. But Drew Brees was able to get Emmanuel Sanders involved downfield in a way that Taysom Hill simply was not. Drew Brees will be able to get Traquan Smith involved, and of course Alvin Kamara, as I discussed earlier. So it's not as big of a deal breaker as it would be if it was Taysom Hill.
I mean, what makes this not as big of a deal breaker is we've seen, like Mina said, Drew Brees operate this offense without Michael Thomas. Now, you certainly would want him out on the field. He's one of those guys that feels like a sure catch as long as you put the ball within his catch radius. And we've seen that so much from Michael Thomas, understanding route running, understanding how to use his body, also playing against a defense that is susceptible on the outside. And so I think it's a huge loss. But we know Drew Brees understands this. And Mina said it from the beginning about the reasons Alvin Kamara will be excited that Drew Brees is back. This is just another piece of that. When Alvin Kamara was playing extremely well, when he was a huge part of that pass game, it was because Michael Thomas wasn't available, because Michael Thomas was nursing some of those injuries. And so I look for Alvin Kamara to step up and be more a part of this offense. Also, think about Taysom Hill getting an opportunity to move back into the spot he's good at, being the utility guy, coming in and doing some different things.
Yes.
Maybe that package can expand a little bit from a passing standpoint. And so not having Michael Thomas doesn't take this team out because you add Drew Brees. But like Mina said, if Drew Brees wasn't quarterbacking and it was Taysom Hill and Michael Thomas was out, this would probably look like the Denver Broncos a few weeks ago when they had the COVID scare in the quarterback room. It would be unwatchable. Yeah. Drew Brees still makes this compelling.
And one more thing, too, y'all. Like, because that's great points by you and Mina, and obviously with Kamara operating in this offense. And remember this, too. In these big games that we've seen, and it doesn't get talked about a lot, but Drew loves this guy, Jared Cook, the tight end. He's come up. Yeah. He's been a big part of what they've done in big games. So look for him to have more opportunities as well down the field with Michael Thomas missing, especially on those third down conversions that you need so much against this Kansas City Chiefs defense.
As we've been saying all year, let Jared Cook. A huge game, though, with massive breaking news here into NFL Live.
We'll have
more
on
Michael Thomas's
absence.
I was waiting for it. His absence all throughout the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
On a night when Chargers phenom quarterback Justin Herbert tied the rookie record for passing touchdowns in a season with 27, it was a walk-off quarterback run that sealed the team's win in overtime over the Raiders. Here's Herbert on the game-winning play.
It was pretty crazy. Kind of waited to see the replay, and guys didn't really know what had happened. So got up and saw everyone started shaking hands and kind of saw the game was over. So was just pretty excited, got to hug a lot of the guys, and, you know, it was a lot of fun, and definitely came down to the wire, but pretty crazy moment.
I mean, obviously, that's frustrating. I mean, trying to go on this journey of what we envision ourselves each year at the start of the year of what we want to do as a team and what we want to accomplish. I mean, obviously, it's frustrating.
Ryan, Herbert wasn't the only quarterback that played really well last night. Marcus Mariota in relief duty played great in replacement of Derek Carr. Could there be a quarterback controversy brewing?
Hey, we're gonna hold really well and great a little bit and quarterback controversy. I think we've been trying to start a quarterback controversy in Las Vegas because Gruden just never seemed to love Derek Carr, but he played well. He had some good runs, but let's remember the best thing he did last night was make a tackle on an interception he threw behind his intended target that Chris Harris had going down the sideline to at least get this game into overtime. He also had an opportunity on a sprint out to make a pass that he left too far inside to Ingold. And so Derek Carr hasn't been the problem with this team, guys. And maybe Mina and Marcus disagree with me, but we were talking about this offense a few weeks ago being able to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs, which they did twice this season, because Derek Carr was playing well. It's the fact that this defense can't stop a nosebleed. Like, this defense couldn't stop running water if they had 16 plumbers. And so when you see a team playing defense like that, you can't now, because a quarterback gets in and has some good design QB run, say Derek Carr isn't playing up to snub or there's a quarterback controversy, because Marcus Mariota still kind of was just who he was.
Look, I don't give a damn who your quarterback is. When you act like people don't play with quarterbacks and wide receivers in pro football, you're going to lose the damn game anyway. And that's how the Las Vegas Raiders enters the football game. They just absolutely forget that there's a quarterback and wide receivers on the other side. So whatever they do, y'all let them do that, and we going to tend to everything else that's going on in the stadium. This was ridiculous, man. On touchdowns, they ran the same exact route concept. One play was a 20-something-yard chunk.
So
the next play was a touchdown.
So
when you look at the end of the game, Mullins, why, how could a guy get behind you like that when the game is on the line in overtime? What are we doing? And what kind of call is that, Rob Marinelli, to allow that situation to happen? You pulled a Greg Williams just did that to y'all the last week. He just gave y'all a touchdown like that the last week. So, look, this ain't about Derek Carr and how good he is or a quarterback controversy. When your defense play like the Las Vegas Raiders defense plays, I don't give a damn who your quarterback is. You ain't going to win a lot of games or make the playoffs. That's all I got about that. I ain't talking about nothing else but the fact that they let every receiver run wide open in that secondary for the entire game.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Marcus, this was six days after a coordinator change, 4 days after a coordinator change, which apparently did absolutely nothing. Paul Gunther somewhere watching that film last night thinking to himself, really? I was a sacrificial lamb? But on the other side of the ball, I mean, a part of the problem for them was, of course, that Justin Herbert is really good. But could he be even better?
Field, you know, what's so amazing about Justin Herbert is not that he's been better than I think anyone anticipated coming out of college, that he has been so good under pressure, that he's displayed such incredible athleticism, that he brings a veteran mentality to the table despite the fact that he looks like he couldn't get into a club on 18 and under night. No, it's the fact that he's doing that despite the coaching. And we saw that on display last night. Like, I think Anthony Lynn deserves some credit for what he's done with him, bringing him to this point, surely, as well as Shane Steichen and Pep Hamilton. But how frustrating was it watching this team stick to the run on early downs throughout the game, despite the fact, as my colleagues have said, Justin Herbert was shredding the Raiders' pass defense. In the fourth quarter, Justin Herbert attempted one pass, okay? So I think the ceiling for this kid is sky high, but unless they either change coaches or change their mindset offensively, he will not be able to reach his potential.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They need to figure some things out with the offensive operation. Some clock management things, of course, reared themselves again last night because, of course, it was a Chargers game. And the Chargers seem to always do this. But no team has played more games with a one-score margin this year than the Chargers. They played 11 of them. They got the win last night, but they also led the league with seven, or do lead the league, excuse me, with seven losses already. Let's dig into some big storylines in the Saturday game from the Dominoes. Pre-game headquarters and Christian McCaffrey, we miss you. But he is doubtful to play on Saturday against the Green Bay Packers. You know what that means. Another week of Mike Davis as the starting running back for the Carolina Panthers. It's a thigh injury that McCaffrey is dealing with now. Previously, it was the shoulder. Prior to that, it was an ankle injury. A season that has gone far from expected for Christian McCaffrey after signing that $64 million deal this offseason. So let's get back to you guys. Mina, what are you watching for in this Panthers-Packers game?
Yeah, I'm watching the Packers' defense, Phil, because I'm not concerned about the Packers' offense against the Panthers' defense. But if we're looking ahead to the playoffs, I want to see, can Green Bay stop the run? Because the Panthers have run the ball just fine with Mike Davis. Can they get pressure consistently? Because if we're going to talk about them against teams like a Seattle or New Orleans, they need to succeed on that side of the football as well.
You know what's crazy? All this talk preseason-wise about why didn't the Green Bay Packers draft a wide receiver, maybe they didn't need one, damn it. Maybe they knew 12 was going to have this type of season, and they were 13-3, and Lazard and Valdez-Scanlon was starting to step up in their roles, and obviously Devontae being there, and Aaron Jones being another threat out of the backfield. Tonyan has stepped up at tight end. Ain't nobody talking about a receiver now with this offense that's killing everybody they playing against.
Yeah, and absolutely. And for me, I want to see what's going to go on with Josh Allen versus this Denver Broncos pass defense. This defense is really underrated. We saw them get at the Tua Tagovailoa to the tune where he was taken out and only giving up 22 points to Patrick Mahomes a couple of weeks ago. And so I want to see if Josh Allen continues to be in that top five, top six of quarterbacks that he's been in this season. And this dude is ascending with Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs on the outside.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Here's a look at your NFC East standing. Washington is currently atop the division with a 6-7 record. ESPN's Football Power Index gives them a 71% chance to hold on to that top spot. But remember, the Giants do own the tiebreaker should both teams finish the season with the same record. The three teams vying for that top seed in the NFC East are all projected to lose this weekend, according to ESPN's Football Power Index. The Browns have a 58% chance to beat the Giants. Seattle is a 61% chance to beat Washington, and the Cardinals are the biggest favorite with a 78% chance to defeat Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. All right, let's get right into the first one, the Battle of the Birds, Ryan. With none of these teams favored by Football Power Index, can Jalen Hurts pull off another upset in this game?
You know, he can pull off another upset. I'm not saying that he necessarily will, though. But the one thing I've learned about Jalen Hurts, and Marcus can speak to this a little bit better than me, is dude knows who he is, right? Like, Jalen Hurts is not a person that's searching for identity. He's not going through an identity crisis. He knows what he does well and what he can bring to a team. When you look at what he was last week, he was decisive. When pressured, when blitzed, when he had to make quick decisions, he was able to do that, whether that was getting the ball out of his hands or using his legs to run. So Jalen Hurts won't be the issue in this game. He'll do exactly what Doug Peterson asked him. He will run this offense as a Jalen Hurts offense, not as a Carson Wentz offense, and that will put this team in position to win. I think it's going to be some of the other positions, some of the other places where the Arizona Cardinals have an advantage over the Philadelphia Eagles, but I expect Jalen Hurts to stay the course and do exactly what he did last week, which is make the right decisions, make the right plays, and put his team in the best position to win a football game.
Yeah, RC, I'm right there with you, man. And the one thing I think about is similar to what we talked about with Taysom Hill when he first started, making a point of how difficult it is to defend quarterbacks when they first play in, especially when from an athletic standpoint. And I believe Jalen benefited a little bit from that playing against the New Orleans Saints. Now, can you do it again? That's the question. Can you do it with a sample size of game tape? Can you do it when teams understand what type of offense Doug Peterson may try to deploy using your athleticism? And look, the Cardinals have made some plays defensively this year that have been eyebrow raising, and then they've given up some things that make you scratch your head and say, I wonder what's going on there. But when you look at it in totality, this should be a more difficult week for Jalen Hurts because a team understands how they'll be attacked. But with that being said, I lean on a lot of what RC said. Jalen Hurts is going to play well. That's what he does. Like, he's not going to make many mistakes. Yep. That's not a part of his football IQ and how he processes and goes forward in the game. So I'm interested to see, can he duplicate some of the success that he had last week, bring it into this week?
You know, Mina, Jalen was the headline last Sunday for the Eagles, but their defense also played really well against New Orleans. How does the Eagles' defense match up against Kyler Murray in this Cardinals' maybe possibly potent offensive attack? I'm not quite sure after the past month or so.
Well, Field, the Eagles have what I like to call a mullet defense. Business in the front, party for wide receivers in the back.
Now, the Saints weren't able to take advantage of that.
The money resides.
They sold out up front, and they stopped the run, and they got a lot of pressure. And what we've seen from Arizona is that if you can make that offense one-dimensional and take away the run, at times they do struggle. Kyler Murray does have difficulty getting the ball going to anyone other than DeAndre Hopkins. So I believe the success for Arizona resides in his ability to beat Philadelphia through the air. Can't just be Hopkins. They need to get other wide receivers involved because this Eagles front is very talented.
Yeah, it certainly is. It'd be a great matchup up front for Philadelphia, who's looking to kind of find a way to stay in it in this NFC East. And as we move forward to our next game here involving an NFC East team, the Seahawks go across the country to play Washington. And we know that it will not be Alex Smith under center. He has been officially ruled out for this game due to a calf injury sustained last week. The team will also most likely be without Antonio Gibson. He's doubtful to play because of a toe injury. But the story here, Marcus, and that is huge, but the story really is about Alex Smith. It's going to be Dwayne Haskins stepping back in as the starter, Marcus. Does it matter, though, who starts at quarterback for the Washington football team?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Phil, in the grand scheme of things, no. I thought they would lose this game anyway. And we could point to how well this defense is playing and what they're doing up front. Everybody's excited about it. Nobody as excited as I am. But when you look at Alex Smith, just wasn't going to make a lot of mistakes. But not making a lot of mistakes doesn't mean you can match what Russell Wilson and this offense can do from their standpoint once they have that number of opportunities to go downfield. Haskins, the only problem is you're worried about turnovers. You're worried about extra possessions for Russell Wilson and this offense and DK and all of these guys that they deploy. So, no, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but if you were thinking that this game could be muddied up, if you were thinking that it could be off script and off schedule, if you were thinking that it could be a reincarnation of Colt McCoy and the New York Giants just messing stuff up, staying steady, and making this game feel like you playing it in slush and everybody's running slow, that's what Alex Smith would have offered. Now you have to worry about this game becoming a fast track meet for the Seattle Seahawks and their offense against a Dwayne Haskins-led Washington football team that may get turn the ball over and give this offense more opportunities.
Yes, Marcus is absolutely right, and it's a Seattle defense that has been playing better lately, admittedly against, you know, not very good offenses, but it's a challenge for Haskins. The strength-on-strength matchup is, of course, on the other side of the football, Seattle's offense against Washington's defense, and it's a difficult one for Seattle. That front is better than Seattle's offensive line, and we have seen Russell Wilson struggle against talented defensive lines so far this season, holding on to the football too long, waiting for DK Metcalf to get open deep. In my mind, if Seattle wants to win this, it's not going to be a walk in the park. They need to get a quick game going. They're going to need to run the football. Marcus, I said it. They're going to need to run the football.
Yes.
It can't just be all DK in this one because Washington is so talented.
No, man, he is absolutely right. This won't be this ain't going to be no walk in the park. And You might be a little excited if you get Dwayne Haskins, if you're the Seattle Seahawks, because you're hoping for those mistakes. You're hoping for some of those errant throws. Because staring in the face of Montez Sweat and Chase Young and Payne on the other side, like, these boys come after you and they're difficult to run on. This will be the best unit on the field all day. Period, will be the defensive line of the Washington football team. And so in dealing with them, you have to have the correct game plan. And, you know, Marcus talked a little bit about the slush and the game being slow. And obviously Mina brought up the run game. That's what's important. The Seattle Seahawks are going to have to get out of the Mr. Unlimited mindset, which I think they are out of, right? He's not in that MVP caliber level anymore. And understand that we're going to have to get physical. We're going to have to strap the pads up, make them real tight, hit both of those joints on our helmets, and bloody some noses. That's the way this game is going to be won. The Seattle Seahawks, because they have Pete Carroll, they're far beyond trying to win by cool points now, right? Now it's about keeping pace and trying to win the NFC West. And this game is going to be won with physicality and playing smart football, hoping that the other team turns the ball over. And that's what we'll see from the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, as Mina knows from her many years of fandom in Seattle, it's going to be a close game because it always is with the Seahawks. The Browns and the Giants, who are also an NFC East contender, also factor into the playoff race. And Sunday Night Football? How about that? Sunday Night Football with the Browns and Giants playing. Ryan, what are you watching for in this one?
You know what I'm watching? I'm watching Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield has a unique combination of dog in him. And not the type of dog when we think about somebody like Stephon Diggs, who just got that grimy, I'm finna eat all these cornerbacks' face. No, the type of dog that Baker Mayfield wants to both be the alpha dog and the underdog at the very same time, right? He wants to be the big man on the field. He wants to be the dude that's balling, but he wants to be hitting and he wants to be counted out. That's who he is right now, and I expect him to play a great game this week against the Giants.
I also expect Jarvis Landry and company, the rest of the wide receivers, to do well in this game. The Giants defense has been very good this season, but they're missing their best cornerback, James Bradbury, arguably one of the best free agent signings of 2020. That is huge for New York, and it's going to be a big challenge for defensive coordinator Patrick Graham.
Yo, coming off what Ryan just said, which had me hype, if you're looking for another line of scrimmage battle, this is one. Big Leonard Williams up there, Dexter Lawrence, the physicality in which Cleveland wants to run the football. Mm. They going against a big physical front seven from the New York Giants as well. And a team that's really coached to play in a box, in an alley. So I can't wait to see this matchup and see if the Browns can get the run game going.
Yeah, and the Browns will be without their standout guard, Wyatt Teller. The Giants, by the way, might be without their starting quarterback, as Daniel Jones is truly 50-50 to play in this game. It's not just that hamstring injury that cost him a game a couple of weeks ago. He's also now dealing with an ankle issue. So both legs impacted right now for Daniel Jones.
You do not want a statue Daniel Jones.
That's right. You could see Colt McCoy on Sunday night against his former team, the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens and Dolphins are both in a fight for that final wild card spot in the AFC, with Miami currently holding the seventh seed. Things can change quickly given how tight the race between the Titans, Colts, Browns, Dolphins, and Ravens is. The good thing for Baltimore is their upcoming schedule. ESPN's Football Power Index has them as a favorite in each of the remaining three games. The Dolphins, on the other hand, are not favored in any of their remaining games.
Wow.
Wow. Mina, FPI doesn't even have the Dolphins favored this week against the Patriots. What are you watching in this one? And are they right?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm against the robots on this one. The Dolphins disrespect. You keep hearing all week, rookie quarterback against Bill Belichick, the record. But this is not, you know, last year's Patriots defense. I imagine, again, FPI is not a human being, but I imagine people who are leaning New England are thinking back to week one when they ran all over Miami, and I expect them to take a similar tack, because you do not want Cam Newton throwing the ball on that Patriots secondary. And it is the weakness of the Dolphins defense, which is very good stopping the run. They're 23rd in DVOA, whereas they're 5th at stopping the pass. But it's still a Dolphins defense that's improved a lot as the season has gone by. In my mind, for New England to pull off the upset, and I think it's an upset, they're going to have to run the ball well. They're going to have to run it off tackle. I imagine that Miami's probably going to sell out and leave those corners in man coverage. So it's going to be a tough hill for New England.
Yeah, the Patriots are clinging to life just a little bit in the playoff race, but a loss on Sunday would seal their fate. Ryan, let's get back to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Monday night, he looked like 2019 Lamar Jackson. Have the Ravens finally figured this thing out again?
Man, weren't you happy? Weren't you happy that we stopped the whole let's turn Lamar Jackson into Joe Montana experiment? That did my heart well. Because you know what? Like, sometimes you get backed into a corner and you just got to be you. Like, I'm sure comedians, like people who are comedians now, when they were growing up and they fell back into a corner, I'm sure they said funny things, right? And when I was playing football, say I got beat over the top or I felt challenged, I decided I was just going to hit everybody in the mouth until either I or one of them went to sleep. That was the way I looked at it. And so now it seems that Lamar Jackson got backed into a corner and he stopped trying to put on makeup. He stopped trying to go get his hair done. He stopped trying to be prettier for all of us and said, you know what? The way God made me is perfect. God made me an MVP. What I am blessed with these cleats is something that no quarterback that played my position was blessed with. Y'all can't catch me. You can't. When I start running, I'm faster than all y'all. I forgot that. Greg Roman, you made me forget that. Guess what? I remembered it, though, and then I went into the locker room, and I was running kind of stiff-legged. Why? I'm not really sure. When I came out, I was still fast, and now the run led to the pass, because that's who Lamar Jackson is. I loved it. I love to see him go back to what he knew, to what we saw against Florida State, to what we saw when he was matched up against Deshaun Watson and Clemson. Keep doing that, Lamar. That's what makes you special. That's what makes you great.
Yes, Sirski. I like what you said, RC. And listen, I was just flailing my arms because, you know, when you're from the hood, like me and RC, Mina ain't really from the hood. Mina, you know, it's different with Mina. Mina got hood and street cred, but she ain't really from the hood. But when you're from the hood, Mina, like me and
you,
RC.
Hey, Marcus, Mina beat you on the Scantron.
I'll take it.
She whooped the Scantron.
Mina beat you with the Scantron.
But my point being is, man, listen, every dude in the hood think they know how to box. And every dude think they got technique and they going to throw a jab and they going to throw a punch.
Yeah.
And then when the fight starts, you just start swinging your arms. And you hope that you connect on one or two in order to win the fight. And that's what I feel like the Ravens did against the Cleveland Browns. That's what RC is talking about when you think about Lamar Jackson. Just come out swinging, man. And I don't feel any more confident in any other team outside of the Ravens, because this team understands. They've been there. This is a coaching staff that understands what it takes to win, and that quarterback got back to swinging haymakers instead of trying to box in a normal way.
Well, if they can continue to throw some of those haymakers and land them, they might have a great chance, because according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Ravens have the easiest strength of schedule remaining in the NFL. It starts on Sunday, of course, with the Jaguars, as Mina is landing some haymakers herself. Well said there, Field. Time for smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. Travis Kelce leads all tight ends in fantasy points this season, and Watson expects him to put up double digits again in Week 15. His high projection against the Saints is 19.8 points, while his low projection is 11 points. Kelce and company face one of their toughest tests yet in the New Orleans defense this Sunday. It's a matchup of strength on strength with Kansas City's offense and New Orleans defense both ranking amongst the league's best in points per game, yards per game, and efficiency. So, Mina, let's get right to it. Can this Saints defense present challenges for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense?
They can, and I like the way you put it, present challenges, because if you had said stop, I would have walked off the set, by which I mean my own office. But you said present challenges, and the Saints defense is, it's my house, so then I'd just be on my street. But look, the biggest mismatch in this game is not Tyreek Hill against Marshawn Lattimore, although that could get ugly. It's Cameron Jordan against a undrafted rookie tackle. Nasir Durant is his name, I believe, because that's who the Chiefs are down to with all the injuries on their offensive line. This Saints secondary, they're going to get toasted. Everybody gets toasted by Kansas City. Their best chance of staying in this game is to exert pressure up front, because the Chiefs' offensive line is the biggest weakness on the team. So I'm looking at Cam Jordan. I'm looking at Trey Hendrickson. Heck, I'm looking at the entire unit. They are going to have to win this game for them, force Patrick Mahomes to make some mistakes, perhaps a turnover along the way.
Ryan, we began the show with some breaking news regarding not just Drew Brees, but also Michael Thomas. He's out. Stating the obvious is that that impacts the Saints' chances. But how much does not having Michael Thomas limit their ability to beat the Chiefs?
I mean, it's obviously not one of those addition by subtraction things. They need Michael Thomas, but we watched Drew Brees excel throughout this season without him. We saw that Alvin Kamara was a huge piece. Marcus mentioned Jared Cook early on. And so Drew Brees understands how to operate this offense without Michael Thomas. They wish they had him, but I think they'll still be able to produce and pressure this Kansas City defense without him.
You know, here's the issue. When your kids are going off to college or you're sending family back to their home after the holidays, you send them off and you say, take care of yourself. And that's what I'm concerned with about Drew Brees. I know Drew Brees is going to want to take care of himself.
Yeah.
I know that the New Orleans Saints are going to want to take care of Drew Brees, but this is the game of football. And the unknowns are the unknowns. And nine times out of ten, at some point, you're going to get hit in this game when you're playing quarterback. So I'm interested to see not only the plan to keep Drew upright, but also to make sure Drew can protect himself. Because he will have pressure from this defensive line, Frank Clark, and obviously we know what Chris Jones can do from an interior defensive line standpoint. And not to mention, Spagnuolo likes to pressure and blitz quarterbacks to force them to make quick decisions and just get hits on them. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Drew is going to take care of himself as he travels through this journey against the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Marcus, your analogies always draw me in to start, and they always stick the landing as well. I was trying to figure out where you're going with sending your kids to school, but I picked up.
I get it from Ryan Clark.
Hey,
Phil, I get it from Ryan Clark.
I love it. I love it. And, hey, Saints, here's your bulletin board material. We're all picking the Chiefs. Sorry, they're 12-1. They are basically unstoppable. It's okay. We're allowed to do that. Time now for one more thing.
You know what that means, though, guys.
Of course it does. Of course we do. But, Marcus, let's begin with you, Swaggy. What do you got?
Okay, Phil, it's the fractured throat for me. How in the hell, first of all, how do you fracture your throat? And how do you play football with one? Frank Ragnow, the center for the Detroit Lions, has been playing football with a fractured throat. Hey, I promise y'all, I had no idea that this could happen. You get chopped in the throat and you can't breathe for 3 minutes. So this dude is out there playing football. There's an argument for this to be the toughest football player to ever play the game. And somebody please tell me a doctor, reach out to NFL Live and tell us how the hell you fracture your throat.
Oh, man. Hurts just thinking about it. Hey, I wanted to give a shout out to Colts punter Rigoberto Sanchez, who had surgery just a couple weeks ago to remove a cancerous tumor and is going to be back on the field on Sunday. Huge.
Crazy.
It's amazing for him, and it's exciting because the Colts are in playoff contention. So props to Sanchez. It's great for him.
Yeah, great to see Rigoberto Sanchez making such a quick turnaround. Guy is showing incredible toughness for somebody that's been through a lot during a year in which many people have had to overcome a lot of adversity. Great to see him back on the field. As we know, the main attraction on Sunday, Chiefs and Saints. The good news is Drew Brees is in. May the best team win.